Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about Kaliningrad. Now, Kaliningrad is probably an area that you haven't heard of before, but it's part of Russia, but it's not actually joined to the rest of Russia. It sits on the Baltic Sea in between Poland and Lithuania. And the reason that this area is part of Russia is that Joseph Stalin annexed the area as part of an agreement at the end of World War II. And the reason that I'm posting this video today is that Lithuania have now banned all access to Kaliningrad from Russia, so they won't allow any further supplies to be fed into the area. And Russia is obviously very unhappy about this, and there is a potential that this could explode into something much bigger. So in this video today, we'll have a look at Kaliningrad and I'll give you some background information on the area. We'll talk about why it's important to Russia. It sits on the water, but also it's rumoured that there are nuclear warheads that have been deployed by Russia in Kaliningrad that could be used to strike the rest of Europe in the event of a full-scale war. And we'll also look at the map of Europe and talk about why Lithuania, Estonia and Latvia are potentially worried about the relationship that's been established. We'll then have a look at what Russia's response to Lithuania's actions have been. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think's going on here and what the implications are of this for the global economy. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip over bits that you're not interested in. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Kaliningrad is officially part of Russia, even though it's separated geographically. And you can see on this map that Russia does not share a border with Kaliningrad, so all supplies that are fed into the area from Russia either have to go via the rail link, which you can see on this map here, goes through Belarus and Lithuania, or via the sea. Originally, the city was called Königsberg and was founded in 1255 by the Teutonic Knights. In 1525, it became the capital of the Duchy of Prussia, which at the time was part of Poland. In 1701, Königsberg became part of Germany when Prussia and Germany united. However, in 1758, the city was annexed by Russia during the Seven Years' War. Prussia regained the city in 1762 and it remained part of the German Empire until the end of World War II. The city became famous as the home of Immanuel Kant, one of the most influential philosophers of the Enlightenment. Kant taught at the University of Königsberg, and later a leading mathematician, David Hilbert, also taught at the university. The city was besieged by the Russians unsuccessfully during World War I. However, in World War II, it was virtually destroyed by the Red Army after a two-month siege which ended in April 1945. The 14th century cathedral, the grand castle built by the Teutonic Knights, and the old university were all left in ruins. The end of World War II, the leaders of the Allied nations met at Potsdam, a suburb of Berlin, to discuss the breakup of the former German Empire. The Allies agreed that Germany would lose further territory in the east, including East Prussia and Königsberg, with most of the land going to Poland. Germany's eastern border was reduced to just 50 miles east of Berlin, which left Königsberg open for reallocation. Stalin saw the opportunity to gain a valuable port on the Baltic Sea and seized Königsberg as part of Russia. At the start of World War II, Königsberg had a population of 360,000 people. However, after the Russian seizure, most of the Germans fled, and by the time Russia took over the territory, only 72,000 people remained. In 1946, Russia renamed the area as Kaliningrad, after Mikhail Kalinin, an influential Bolshevik who'd taken part in the Russian Revolution and passed away earlier that year. Although Kaliningrad was cut off from Russia, it had borders with the Soviet Republic of Lithuania and also shared a border with Poland, which, despite being an independent country, was still regarded as a Soviet satellite state that could be relied upon to allow transit across the territory. Between 1946 and 1949, 400,000 Soviet citizens, mostly Russians, were moved into Kaliningrad. Throughout the whole of the Cold War period, Kaliningrad remained a really important part of the Russian Empire because it was a warm water port. A lot of the Baltic Sea freezes up during the winter periods, and the coastline that Russia has on the Baltic Sea is not usable for some part of the year. Kaliningrad is a warm water port, it's sheltered, and therefore ships can sail in and out all year round. And as a result of this, they used Kaliningrad as their naval base in the north of Europe. In addition to being a very useful port, Joseph Stalin also referred to Kaliningrad as an unsinkable aircraft carrier, which means that they can use the area to locate aircraft to be able to bomb other areas of Europe that they couldn't easily access directly from Russia. So geographically, it's a really important military site. And beyond the air and naval bases, the other issue here is that Russia is rumoured to have deployed nuclear weapons in Kaliningrad. Russia has never acknowledged or denied that it has nuclear weapons in Kaliningrad. However, satellite images appear to show Russian nuclear weapons storage sites in the area. These images show a storage facility being deepened and then covered with a new concrete roof around 4 years ago. A release from the Federation of American Scientists stated that it has all the fingerprints of a typical Russian nuclear weapons storage site. There is a heavy-duty external perimeter of multi-layered fencing. The bunkers themselves have triple fencing around them as well. These are typical features from all the other nuclear weapons storage sites that we know in Russia. Work on the bunker began in 2016 and was completed in 2018. This is a site we've been monitoring for some time, and there have always been some upgrades in the past, but nothing as dramatic as this one. This is the first time we've seen one of the nuclear bunkers being excavated and apparently renovated. These pictures don't prove that there are nuclear weapons in Kaliningrad now, but they do show that this is an active site. It's unknown whether Russian military already have nuclear warheads at the site or whether they intend to bring them in later. One thing that the Russian military has confirmed is the ability for Kaliningrad to accommodate mobile Iskander-M missiles capable of carrying conventional and nuclear warheads a range of 500 kilometres. The US has responded to this by stating that this is a violation of the 1987 Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty. Lithuania is once again in the worldwide spotlight as it's come out and stated that it is applying an outright ban on the transport of all goods across its land to Kaliningrad. Now, as you can see from this map, Lithuania sits in a direct path between Belarus and Kaliningrad. Now, Belarus, as you may be aware, is an ally of Russia. They've also been sanctioned by all of the Western world for enabling Russia to be able to invade Ukraine through their border at the start of the war. So whilst Lithuania doesn't have a direct border with Russia, because Belarus has a very close relationship with Russia, it is under potential threat, because if Russia wanted to invade the country, they could do the same as they did with Ukraine and take a path via Belarus. Now, Lithuania is a small country. It only has a population of around 2.7 million people. But it has been in the worldwide news recently, because back in November 2021, they announced that they were allowing Taiwan to set up an official embassy in the country. And this caused major problems with China, because China does not recognize Taiwan as an independent country. It sees Taiwan as being part of China, even though Taiwan doesn't. So as a compromise around this position, all of the embassies for Taiwan around the world are officially labelled as Taipei, which is the capital of the country. However, Lithuania decided that they didn't want to agree to this protocol, and they allowed Taiwan to open an official embassy. And as a direct result of that action, China imposed a variety of sanctions against Lithuania, and this was a classic David versus Goliath mismatch. So Lithuania are obviously not afraid of taking on the big boys, and they've now come out and made a stance against Russia. And the tensions between Russia and Lithuania started back in February, when Lithuania announced that it was banning all Russian airlines from using its airspace. Lithuania is the shortest route from mainland Russia to Kaliningrad, and this ban meant that all Russian flights would have to take a longer detour via the Baltic Sea. Lithuania has now introduced a ban on the import and export of a large variety of goods by rail due to the Western sanctions. In response to this, the governor of Kaliningrad posted a video online stating that he considered this to be a most serious violation of the right to free transit in and out of the Kaliningrad region. He went on to say that the clampdown would affect between 40 to 50% of the products that are imported to and exported from Russia through Lithuania. in an official statement, the Kremlin has declared Lithuania's action as a violation of everything and went on to say that they consider it to be illegal and the situation is more than serious. We need a serious in-depth analysis in order to work out our response. Russia has now issued a warning to Lithuania that unless the transit of goods to Kaliningrad are swiftly restored, then Moscow will take undisclosed measures to defend its national interests. Russia's foreign ministry has demanded that Lithuania reverse what it calls an openly hostile move immediately. If cargo transit between Kaliningrad region and the rest of Russian Federation is not fully restored in the near future via Lithuania, then Russia reserves the right to take actions to protect its national interests. In response, Lithuania has stated that it is merely implementing the EU sanctions. It's not Lithuania doing anything. It's European sanctions that started working from the 17th of June, the Lithuanian foreign minister said. It was done with consultation from European Commission and under European Commission guidelines. Lithuania's state-owned railway informed clients that from the 17th of June, sanctioned goods such as steel and iron would not be permitted to cross Lithuania. And the European Commission vice president has confirmed that Lithuania is applying EU sanctions. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because it's really interesting that Russia has a port that is not part of the Russian geography. It's sitting in between Poland and Lithuania. And that's been really beneficial to Russia over the last 75 years or so. It gives them access to the Baltic Sea at times when the rest of the Russian ports are all frozen. But it also gives them a military base and a slightly different perspective in terms of if there ever was to be a war with the rest of Western Europe, they've got quite an advantageous position here. And Lithuania have now stepped in and applied the EU sanctions. And this has ruffled a lot of feathers in Russia because clearly they want to keep Kaliningrad being supplied. And it's much easier to put heavy items onto trains than it is to put them onto planes or boats that then have to go all the way around the Baltic. And as we know from the issue that they had with regards to China, Lithuania is not afraid of upsetting the big boys. But the issue here really is, what will Russia do? What will their response be? Lithuania is actually part of NATO. So if Russia was to take any aggressive action against Lithuania, that would then bring on board all of NATO. And so we've got the US, the UK, Canada, all of the other nations that are part of that agreement. And Russia has been trying to avoid that. One of the reasons that they invaded Ukraine was looking to join NATO, and Russia didn't want that. And so they took preemptive action before Ukraine became part of it, because that meant that NATO wouldn't be behind Ukraine. But Lithuania does have the support. And it's interesting when you look at the geography of the situation. If Russia is looking to extend its territories, the area with Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia does look at risk, because it's also bordered by Belarus, which is a close ally of Russia. So we've got a really interesting situation going on here. And this is a live matter. This has just happened. Now, Russia won't be happy that Lithuania is agreeing to go with all of the EU sanctions rather than listening to what Russia wants. And they've started to make some threats now that unless Lithuania reinstates the route, then they're going to take some action. And that's the really interesting matter here. Will Russia decide to send any troops into Lithuania, or will they just let this matter lie? Now, we'll have to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks, but this will be a really interesting point of principle. The EU are looking to enforce all of their sanctions. They want Russia to suffer. And Kaliningrad, because it's geographically separated from Russia, is an obvious place to focus a bit of attention on. Now, Russia are not happy with this situation. What will they do about it? I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments as and when they happen. But I wanted to make sure that you're aware that Kaliningrad exists, that it's part of Russia, and it's now been cut off from the motherland. So if you've liked what I've said today, if you've enjoyed the structure of this video and learning some more stuff that maybe you didn't know before, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.